Go long! Go long!
Sometimes longer isn't better. So if you're looking for a fantasy NFL game that doesn't last all season, try Paddy Power Fantasy. Every game week is a season in itself. Try it for free on our super short, super free contest on this Sunday's 6pm games. The top 1,500 customers in the contest win a prize with £200 for first place. Search Paddy Power Fantasy to pick your team.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Good to have you with us. Our week 17 preview coming your way. Tom Deacon, comedian, 49ers fan in the house. Might get into the 49ers Seahawks game at some point. All the other key things that need to get resolved as well coming your way very shortly. Don't forget, week 17 means a week 17 daily fantasy listener league. So get involved. fantasy.paddypower.com/league/Nat Coombs Show. It's free to enter. Lots of cash prizes to be won, and me and the OG will drop our daily fantasy pod, which should hit your pod catches around about Saturday morning. But let's get straight down to business. Me, Tom Deacon, and our week 17 preview. Tom Deacon, Merry Christmas, man.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you too, Nat. This has been a beautiful festive period for me. What about you?
Particularly now.
Okay.
I think we've notched up the festive to 11 with Deacon in the ESPN house.
Yeah, well, before I came in the room, I had to go the wrapping off. I thought, you know, it's nice to give yourself as a gift, but it's too much, yeah.
The gift of Tom Deacon this Christmas.
You've got to recycle, but it's not good for the environment.
God bless us, everyone. There is a ton to get into, of course, a lot to get sorted out. The big buzz at the moment, of course, is what a team's going to do that don't have anything to play for this weekend, but still have a lot to play for in the playoffs. Look, the Texans, for example, they can't affect their seeding at all. Do they rest their starters? Bill O'Brien came out and said, no, we go hard. We're playing four. I'm paraphrasing. We're playing four quarters. But this implication that none of those teams are going to yank the starters at some point. Now, there's a difference, I guess, between, and the OG and I were talking about this on a fantasy show, which drops tomorrow, isn't it? The difference between players not going full tilt, which is absurd, of course they are. If you're playing in an NFL game, you are going to, unless it's the Pro Bowl, you're going to be going full tilt 100%. It's not so much that players aren't going to be giving their all. It's how much action the starters are going to see.
Yeah.
So that makes week 17 difficult to pick. And there are a number of games that we'll get into that will reflect that. And the Texans in particular, I think, is quite key. There's the AFC number six seed to sort out. The Titans currently hold that at the moment, but the Raiders and the Steelers could nick in the back door. But of course, the NFC and the 49ers, that's the big game of the weekend, the 49ers Seahawks, and your 49ers will get into that too. But first things first, the most important thing of all to get out of the way, your success in your fantasy league.
Oh, wow.
I know you want to share that with the nation.
Nah, there is so much. It's the gift that keeps on giving for NFL fans out there. Obviously, as you say, there's so many things that could still possibly happen. But yeah, I've never won a league before.
And it's your first one.
My first one. It's gone. The sweet V of never winning has gone, and I'm buzzing. But it didn't feel real. The reason I won it was Kenyon Drake. He really turned my season around, and I had Lamar Jackson. And haven't they had good seasons? I mean, Kenyon Drake's turned it around, but Lamar Jackson has been lights out. And I think a lot of other fantasy owners have had him in their team and have won this year.
I wonder how many people at the start of the season saw Kenyon Drake being the decisive factor.
Well, of course, he was at the Dolphins and did nothing, but you had to take a running back. That's the beauty of fantasy league, where you have to take a running back and you think, come on, Kenyon, it could be his year. He moves to Cardinals, and then suddenly they seem like, without Johnson, he's the man.
Goes off, yeah. Speaking of predictions, you were looking back at an early season preview.
Yeah, well, because every fan does, we look at the magazines, we think, you're right, you know what, I think it's going to be the Browns getting through to the playoffs. They're going to be 11-5. That's what everyone was predicting.
Yeah.
And how different that is. So you look back and Sports Illustrated, a fantastic read. But yeah, they marry up in a lot of games. Like the Panthers were predicted in the NFC South at 7-9. The Saints 11-5. That's not far off. Mm. The Bucks were predicted 5-11. They've done better. So it's really nice to look back and see why the Colts were predicted to be finishing top of their division.
Yeah.
And that was because of Andrew Luck.
That was pre-Luck's news. Was that
exactly.
Came out. So what was the biggest? Was the Browns, I guess, in most people's, the biggest miss, wasn't it, in most people's eyes?
Yeah, I think a lot of Browns fans have been disappointed because they believed in the hype. And they haven't had a bad season, considering all of the woes they've had over the years. It feels like every time I come in and have a chat with you, Nat, I'm digging out the Browns. I'm not in any way, shape or form. The Bengals have they were predicted to only win four games. Mm. They've only won one. So I suppose we're also looking at this weekend's games for who's going to tank for any pick that they particularly want.
Well, yeah, there was that end of proceedings, of course, as well. And both the Redskins and the Giants involved in both sides of it, because they can play spoiler to the Cowboys and the Eagles. And we'll talk about that. Even though Dallas lost against Philly last week, they can still make the playoffs. And probably Jason Garrett could still be their head coach at Dallas next season, much to the delight, I'm sure, of Dallas fans everywhere. So all of that to get into. We'll do our best to rattle through. We've got to start with the 49ers, Seahawks. The winner wins the NFC West. The 49ers have even more at stake, of course, because if they win it, they land the number one seed in the NFC and home field advantage. Earlier on in the season, it was a close-fought affair, separated solely by a field goal, the Seahawks winning that one. Different situation now, though, of course, because in that game, the 49ers were quite banged up, their offensive line in particular. I don't think Kittle was playing in that game. Offensive line much stronger now. Kittle is back, and it's the Seahawks who got the injury issues. Absolutely depleted at running back, which means the return. And I bet you're delighted about this. And Marshawn Lynch.
I think we're all big fans of Beast Mode. He's back. So's Turbin as well. so they're putting the Turbin right. power. And essentially, I don't think Marshawn Lynch... I'm watching all of the highlights about how he just knocked defenders and secondaries to the floor. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen this time around, but for Seahawks fans, it does give them that kind of like, oh, isn't it great to have Lynch back? And
yeah.
Maybe we can right the wrong of that Super Bowl against the Patriots when they decided to throw the football rather than run it. He's back. They can get excited, but I obviously want the Niners to win, but I think they've got a better chance with their pass rush and their defense to get the win for the first time since 2011.
That is key, isn't it? The impact that Marshawn Lynch is going to have on the field and how much he can expected to have on the field, given how long he's been out of the game. Now, he's apparently been keeping himself in shape, and it's yet to be seen. I guess because they don't have any other options, he's going to see the ball sometimes. And this is a terrific player that could surprise us. But it is unlikely, if not impossible, that he's going to change the game on his own. But at least he, as you say, galvanizes the Seahawks side that kind of needs it at the moment, really. They, unlike other teams that are peaking at the right time, like the Chiefs, for example, seem to be timing their run to perfection, the Seahawks aren't. So I wonder if there's that factor as well. In terms of the 49ers re-upping in and just being a much stronger proposition this time around to back when they met earlier on in the season, how significant is that? How significant are the strengthening of the line again and the impact of Kittle, not just in terms of his productivity, but what he does as a blocker as well?
Yeah, well, obviously, the Seahawks have lost their left tackle as well.
Right.
Dwayne Brown. And so the likes of our pass rush, Armstead, who was a former first round pick, we thought he was a bit of a bust. He's got 10 sacks this year. Bosa's got 9. I feel like
Dee Ford's an injury doubt for the game, though, right?
Yes, but there's also Buckner, who was the most sacks for the Niners last year. So our defensive line is looking good. If they fail, like they have done in a few games recently, then the secondary's banged up. So I think it's the perfect game. It's a real, I think it's looking on paper, apart from the Eagles and the Cowboys, what's going to happen for them. This is the big one to focus on this weekend, and that's why it's a late kickoff for us over here in the UK. Kittle is the difference, I think. He's Jimmy G's comfort blanket. He's the safety person to go to. And if we can get that running game going. However, I think the Seahawks do need something, as you say, with Marshawn Lynch to lift them. And again, they're going to have to rely on Russell Wilson. And as a Niners fan, I'm sure a lot of teams have found this, Russell Wilson can be the difference maker and get that team across the line.
I wonder whether, as well, Tyler Lockett, such a key player for them, out for a while, came back last week and didn't really connect as they'd hope, but that's not, particularly unusual given the fact he's been out for a while, whether that can, he can lock in and they can get the passing game rolling a little bit more fluently than they have been as well. Whether Lynch gives him Turbin, gives him enough to establish the play action and Russell Wilson getting it done on his own. So much at stake here.
Yeah.
Andy, so much. And let's not forget as well, this is in Seattle, the 12th man, is a tough place to go. And let's look at Garoppolo in that situation. This is the biggest game of his career.
I think Well, it has to be, because Niners fans already know that he's kept us in the game. The last one against the Rams, that outrageous throw to Sanders. We were 3rd and 16, I think. He just sat in the pocket, took a hit, but manages to, he sort of brings off these amazing throws sometimes where you're like, how is that possible? And yet we'll muck up a beautiful, easy 5-yard throw. So I think it is his biggest game, especially to silence the Seahawks, crowd on their back. But again, the man to look for is that Luke Wilson. He's the coolest dude ever for the Seahawks, man. He's their tight end. He's just so, like, wavy. So I reckon he'll get a touchdown, and that will really annoy me, because you can't dislike Luke Wilson. Out of all the Seahawks, you're like, he's the coolest dude ever, man.
He bounced. He was obviously there and then went to the Raiders, didn't he? And then kind of bounced.
Came back.
Yeah, he was in Hard Knocks. Yeah.
They love him. So everyone Seahawks there, when you're there at Century Link, you think that they're booing, but they're just shouting, Luke.
Springsteen style. I'm with you. So Garoppolo, huge game for him, and difficult place to take your offense, of course, just because of the noise and the impact there as well. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. And of course, the importance of home field advantage in the playoffs, not to be underestimated. But let's just say the worst happens and the 49ers drop down. They don't get the win and they drop down. There is this, and I'm talking about the Seahawks stalling a little bit, but there is this undoubted narrative going on in the NFC that it is ridiculous that one of these teams is going to be seeded lower than whoever wins the NFC East. But one of these teams is. So difficult for the 49ers after everything they've achieved if they lose this game and drop down.
Yeah, I think it could be the, there's so many injuries that we've had, but I think that's the sign of a good team when you're still managing to get those wins. You're still managing to galvanize as a team and really lift yourself to get the win. It doesn't matter how it happens. We got a field goal win. Robbie Gould kicked it last week against the Rams, but I think that they'll have to just go back to square one and maybe it will just knock the stuffing. Let's go with the festive idea. It will knock the stuffing out of them. And then I think we'll flop for the rest of the season and we'll get knocked out of the playoffs. However, I just feel like if we can get that win, as a Niners fan, I don't know how far we can go.
It's a really good point, actually, the impact of losing and going.
And again, such a fierce rival and them having bragging rights twice in one year.
Crawling as opposed to striding into the, into the playoffs. So, are you going to get it done? Are the 49ers going to win?
I'm going all out for them. My money's definitely on them. And I think we can do it just for the fact that the Seahawks have loved to run the football this year with Carson.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson will be relied too much on him. I imagine it's going to be a close game, but I think the Niners wedge it for the first time.
I'm with you on that. I'm taking the Niners for the win. So, Tom Deacon, firstly, do you have a degree from MIT?
No.
Ivy League, University, Oxford, Cambridge.
There was one in the post, but it didn't arrive.
Okay. The one you sent off for on the internet.
It was a classic. They've put it behind the back gate, you know, okay. And then I think the neighbors had it.
Left it in your safe place. Cause we might need it to try and work out some of these playoff shenanigans, right? One of the easier ones though is in the NFC and the final playoff spot up for grabs, essentially in the NFC East winner, which should be Philly in principle because they beat the Cowboys last weekend. But it's not that simple because if Philly lose to the New York Giants and the Cowboys beat the Redskins, improbably, Tom Deacon, the Cowboys are making the playoffs.
I know this doesn't seem fair. The fair is not a word you use with NFL, matches all the time, but it is. The Eagles just have to go to the Giants and simply dispatch them at MetLife. But the other chances, you know, the Cowboys, you should look on paper and say they will beat the Redskins at home. And the Eagles could slip up, but the Eagles look so good. They really nullified Dak Prescott and his passing game, last week. So, you know, it's all to play for. The Eagles just lose. Cowboys could do it. But then an 8-8 team, that doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right.
I wonder if that will change, whether they will look at, I'm not sure they will. I think divisional winners are going to get a playoff spot, whatever. Whether they allow that to impact the seedings, they'll look at that in the offseason. I don't know.
Nah. It's not broke. Don't fix it.
It ain't broke.
It's not fair. Life ain't fair.
I like the idea of either Doug Peterson or Jason Garrett just say, it's not fair.
Yeah. And the commissioner's like, all right, it's a good point. You make
a
good point.
Very good point. The Eagles banged up. They were against the Cowboys. Didn't seem to matter, particularly offensively. Add Zach Ertz to that mix. He, in the game, sustained a rib injury. And so he's going to, Zach Ertz is a tough customer, so he'll probably suit up. But how much impact that's going to have? He didn't practice on Wednesday. Fletcher Cox, Jalen Mills as well, defensively. So it's a banged up Philly side here.
It is a banged up Philly side. Jim Schwartz has done an incredible job defensively nullifying the Cowboys, but they have brought up Richard Rodgers, a draft pick by the Packers. Scored 13 touchdowns in his career. That was back in 2014. Over his career. But Dallas Goedert did the job. So yeah. Maybe Zach Ertz isn't going to play, but they still think they've got enough firepower. And yet all season, the Eagles, you know, who's going to catch the ball? That's been a main problem for the Eagles. Please, one of you, Jeffrey, you know.
Carson Wentz just does that.
Please catch it.
Throws it up and catches it himself.
And even J-Train came back to try and get that offense
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they cut J-Train. That's disappointing. So the Giants, conversely, are looking stronger than ever, really, offensively this season, you know, relatively speaking. And I think I kind of misspoke on the show last week with Carson in the house. I was saying, well, you can't judge Daniel Jones's rookie season too negatively when you consider the limited receiving options he's had, but actually ending the season, there's quite a lot around him now, isn't there? He's got quite a decent receiving core.
Yeah, Slayton's come out of, well, you wouldn't say nowhere, but he's had a fantastic year. Yeah. 8 touchdowns this year. No fantasy points last week. Did hurt, but still won.
Did matter. Still won.
Though. So just to bring it up again. But yeah, and Barkley has had one of those seasons where we thought he was going to be even better. Still a decent year for him. And Danny Dimes has had to. I think he's given confidence to the Giants team. Yeah. Have they got a good offensive weapons there? I don't think they've got the best weapons they could have. However, you know, it's strength to rebuild for next year and get a few more players in.
Definitely a dangerous proposition when you weigh that up. So you can see a Giants win. It wouldn't surprise you if the Giants acted a spoiler here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at Redskins Cowboys and work out the probability of who is going to eat. Because this is in Arlington. There's no Dwayne Haskins, of course. Case Keenum back.
Yeah.
Last time these two met earlier in the season, Case Keenum was the quarterback and put up some points, of course, against the Cowboys. And you think conceivably could do that again. This Cowboys offense is baffling, completely nullified, as you say, and not at the races against Philly. Now, Dak Prescott's shoulder injury was significant in that fact. He was gutsy and he was trying to get it done, but he was just receivers weren't helping him, dropping balls left, right, and center, but he was mistiming throws as well.
I heard somewhere that Amari Cooper's in witness protection somewhere.
Where is Amari Cooper? Do you know? I thought he might be on the show later on. That's what, yeah, that was your Christmas present to us. I mean, there would be that bizarre situation with Amari Cooper and, you know, with Jason Garrett with a deadpan face saying, yeah, we just thought tactically we were going to mix him up with Tavon Austin. Like, come on, who are you
Why?
Talking?
Amari Cooper, we know how good he is when Dak Prescott can get him the ball. He's put up, you know, yardage this year. I wouldn't say that Amari Cooper is inconsistent, but just at least give him a chance to catch the football, try and throw that ball. However, if the Cowboys run with Zeke, they're 5-1 if he has over 100 yards. So rest that shoulder, Dak.
Yeah.
Just give Zeke the ball and try and get the job done.
I think they'll get it done. I mean, I think the Cowboys, I don't know if they'll cover the spread and they'll run away with the game, no pun intended, but I think they'll get the job done against Washington. So they could still squeak in. Let's just say they do that. Let's just say the Giants do them a favor. And that is a horrible spot for the Giants to be in, right? And the, you know, they can act as spoiler for the Eagles, but they help the Cowboys, right? So that's a place that no Giants fan really wants to be. But let's say it happens. Let's say Giants get the win in Jersey and the Cowboys beat the Redskins. The Cowboys make the playoffs and then the Cowboys win the wild card round, get into the divisional round. Maybe just stay with me. If they suddenly get some momentum going and find themselves in the championship game.
Yeah.
They're in the NFC Championship game.
They're a talented team.
It could happen. Has Jerry Jones got to keep Jason Garrett if they get to the championship game?
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? But if you get to the championship game, there's enough talent on this roster, even with Jason Witten, their historic tight end comes back for them. I think that they have to. They don't necessarily believe in Jason Garrett, but he's getting them across the line. That's all that Jerry Jones wants, is a winning team.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to get a few other coaches for next year, potentially. That's not to say they don't go on and win the Super Bowl. Do I think it's likely? No. But if it happens, Jason Garrett will not be going anywhere. He can't, because he's bringing Jerry Jones success, not the way that Jerry Jones wants it, but as a talented team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they went that far.
Whoever wins it gets a home field game, right? They will play either the 49ers or the Seahawks at home in the wild card round.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense, but they've got, as I keep saying, they've got talent offensively. For whatever reason, it hasn't clicked at times. And defensively, they haven't been as good as last year, but, you know, they've got a chance to prove, don't rest on these Cowboys. And they've been very entertaining for an 8-8 team, potentially.
Very watchable. Okay, so who's going to make it, Eagles or Cowboys?
Do you know what? The Giants are going to give those Eagles a run for their money. Yeah. Back in week 14, it was 23-17, overtime touchdown. Giants still had them. But I still think the Eagles will have enough momentum from that win against the Cowboys to get the job done. And then it doesn't matter what happens with the Cowboys.
So I disagree. I think the Cowboys make it. I think the Giants beat the Eagles, and I think the Cowboys get it done against Washington.
You just want to see, you know, Jason Garrett in a job. That's all it is.
How good would the America's game be if Dallas win the Super Bowl? Jerry Jones, all the quotes of, I'm sure I'll be coaching in the NFL somewhere next year.
Yeah. Mediocrity gets you over the line. It's not fair.
Best America's game ever.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. On to the AFC then, Tom Deacon, in terms of the playoffs anyway, and then we'll rattle through the other games. So the final spot for grabs, the Titans currently hold the number 6 seed. The Steelers could sneak in, and so could the Raiders.
Mm.
Right? And you can head on over to ESPN UK's YouTube channel, watch me and Carlson break down how the Raiders can make the playoffs. That's over there, and we'll push it out on our social channels at the NC Show as well. It is a head scrambler, but they could theoretically do it. They've got to beat the Broncos to stand a chance. The game's in Denver, so that's the Raiders game. The Titans have the Texans in Houston, and because Houston have locked the division down now and the number 4 seed in the AFC, they got nada to play for, right? So
nada.
That's how Bill O'Brien put it to them.
They got nada.
Nada to play for. So the Titans on the road in Houston as well. And then the Steelers on the road in Baltimore. And again, Baltimore having locked down the number 1 seed in the AFC and home field advantage. They don't have, in theory, anything to play for. Comes down to theory versus practice, though, because particularly as the Ravens have a bye week, that's great because they can rest players up, and this stage of a busy, grueling season, that's a good thing. But equally, they don't want to have the flow disrupted for too long. And this is often an issue with the bye week situation and teams that have locked that down going into week 17. What do? Do you actually rest your starters for most of it, which means they're out of action for quite a few weeks. That can have a negative impact sometimes.
Yeah, the rust. They get a little bit rusty. I mean, it's weird to think that humans can get rusty, but we do. Yeah. And previous seasons, I remember the Packers had an incredible year, had a bye week, and then came back and lost their next game.
Yeah.
I think you're right. The problem is that they're just so panicked about injuries and that can change a whole offense. You're going to have a new strategy, work it out. If Lamar Jackson was to play in this game against the Steelers, I know he'll want to put up numbers and keep having this incredible season, but then the Steelers defensively would love to take a hit on Lamar Jackson.
Big time. And they're going to be playing hard because of everything that's at stake, right? Mm-hmm. So,
and you don't want to go into a playoffs without an actual quarterback. So maybe Lamar Jackson gets rested, RG3 comes in. But then do you take out Andrews, the tight end? He's a bit banged up. He could do with a week off. And at what point do you start, you know, dicing up this team and thinking, actually, we're too good? And does that set the wrong precedent for those starters that, like, oh, we're, you know, we have to be rested? I think as a team, you just got to say, look, if you're banged up and we know so many players have to take a certain medication to try and keep themselves on that playing field, you know, rest them, and the ones that can still play, risk the potential injury.
Quarterback wise for the Steelers, of course, been a tough old season in that respect. They've had 3 different quarterbacks going at it, and it looks like Duck Hodges now is going to be the one to carry them home because Mason Rudolph ruled out as well now. So Hodges benched last weekend. They brought Rudolph in. He got knocked out of the game, and Hodges couldn't get it done against the Jets, hence them bouncing out of the playoff picture. So it's going to be on his shoulders against the Ravens. In terms of the Titans and the turnaround there this season, particularly with Ryan Tannehill, has been extraordinary. And there is, I guess, a sense, given the momentum they've had, and they had no Derrick Henry last week in that loss to the Saints, but they put 28 on the Saints in that game, and at one stage looked like they could be causing the upset there. It would be hugely disappointing, wouldn't it, if the Titans didn't make the playoffs?
Yes, it would be very disappointing because that was a close game against the Texans last time, 21-24 in favor of the Texans.
It's the style of football they're playing, and the fact that they seem to be one of those teams that momentum is overused at this stage of the proceedings, right? But they just seem to be one of those teams that was gaining in traction and starting to really find its identity. So, and I think everyone thought there's no way the Titans are going to be stopped now on this run, particularly with Henry absolutely destroying defenses. Yeah. But yeah, the brakes are on now, and back-to-back losses, and suddenly it's coming to the wire. But do you think they'll get the win in Houston?
I think that they have to, because they're the ones that need it more than the Texans. And sometimes that motivation, that drive will get you across the line. AJ Brown, amazing season, as you said. Derrick Henry, incredible season. And Tannehill, they're kind of almost like the underdogs. And yet it seems odd to say that about Ryan Tannehill, you know, when he was at Miami Dolphins. You looked at him and you thought, oh, he's not the quarterback. He goes to the Titans. Everyone's rooting for him. We love that story. The guy that's the career is over, you're a backup, to suddenly be lifting a team when they needed to be lifted. Yeah, I think they can go in against those Texans, who will probably need to rest a few players. JJ Watt's coming back, he said, for the playoffs. I think the Texans will take their foot off the gas. As much as you say with your Bill O'Brien impression that no one will be rested.
No one's getting rested.
But
apart from Will Fuller, because he's injured.
Well, he's always injured. But you know, we give him an extra time. The Titans, I think they can go in. I think they have been impressive. And I've liked to watch them, and I would like to continue watching this season. And that's what the NFL is now in this stage of the season. Some teams you don't get to see for a whole year now. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't get to see them for ages. I want to see the Titans continue this run.
Yeah, I do as well. I think they will. I think they'll get it done. I think the Raiders, it is ridiculously a long shot. Great story that they've got something to play for in week 17, but I think it's unlikely that both the Steelers and the Titans lose. And I think the Titans therefore get it done. So Tennessee for the playoffs. We're picking the Titans.
Yeah. I just don't want to see the Steelers in the playoffs. And it's not because I don't like them. I think they're Minkah Fitzpatrick. That trade has been fantastic for them, but they've got no running back. Connor's been injured all the time. I think there would be a team that would go into the playoffs and you think, well, that's an easy win for us.
Yeah. And the Titans, you're absolutely right.
It's more exciting for us fans.
Yeah. Because that will be, of course, let's think it will be probably the Chiefs playing the Titans in the first round, right? Mm. Well, it depends. The Patriots have got to beat the Miami Dolphins to get the number two seed locked down. So Kansas City can still get the number two seed if, in the unlikely event, Miami beats New England, Kansas City gets the win, then the Chiefs can sneak in, but it's unlikely, right? Because even if, I think the Chiefs will beat the Chargers, that game's in Kansas City, but you would think that New England will be too strong for Miami, given what's at stake.
Yeah, they will need to get that job done, even though Brian Flores, the Dolphins, former, you know, sort of Patriots employee.
Yeah, he's going back, yeah.
We'll sometimes get the measure, but they won't, on this occasion. But I have to say, and I think this is what I love about this sport, is you learn something about yourself. You go, oh, I was so in on those Dolphins being rubbish all year. Obviously week two, they lost 43-0 against the Dolphins. And I thought, this team is going to tank. They're not going to win a game all year. And I've been so impressed with those Dolphins.
Big time.
Fitzmagic has done such a great job. Brian Flores, and we all doubted him. And now we're learning, hey, you know that cynicism? You just hold that back because you'll be proven wrong some point.
You look like a one and done. They're going 0-16. This is going to be the worst team in the history of the NFL. And here we are. And now they're talking about potentially trading down. They've got a lot of picks anyway in the first round, a lot of stock in the draft. Not necessarily taking a quarterback and trading down and just re-upping elsewhere, which I personally think is what they should do.
I think
Fitz has got another year in him. If there isn't the quarterback that you absolutely, if there isn't an Andrew Luck type quarterback, and maybe Tua is that player, because despite the injury, he seems to be, has the potential of a generational player. Based on what our college friends tell us, Ben Isaacs, Burrow is a decent player, but not a sure thing as much as you get a sure thing. I wonder, when you're in that situation, you don't have to take a quarterback, whether you look at getting value elsewhere. Particularly, look at the market as well, Tom, for quarterbacks in the offseason. I mean, the Dolphins are kind of sorted with Fitz, but there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks, bona fide starters, on the market.
But there's a lot of traditionalists in the NFL goes, you must take...
Yes.
I don't know why I keep doing an American voice.
But
you must take a quarterback in the first round. If you got a high pick, you take a quarterback.
You gotta think.
But how many... quarterbacks, I'll be polite here, have failed. The pressure's too much for them. You look at the fact Mayfield this year versus
Trubisky.
Jackson. You know, Trubisky as well. They traded up the Bears. They traded with the Niners to get that pick. And the pressure's too much. I just think...
Two words for you, Tom. Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. Yes. Yes, that is an interesting name to use there for me. Thank you. The Jags' finest. With the situation that the Dolphins have, they've got Josh Rosen as well.
Yep.
Is he, you know, done and dusted?
Right.
And I think also Brian Flores has proven that trust him. The wide receiver that they thought was a little bit here and there, Devontae Parker, has had his first 1,000-yard season. So Fitz is the guy for the time being. Build the team around, yep, and then maybe Josh Rosen will take over.
I see the Patriots winning the game.
Oh, yeah.
And the number two seed.
Oh, by the way, that in mind, yep, the Patriots still going to win this game.
The Patriots win the game by 44 points.
Yeah. Apparently, like the Seahawks, Gronkowski's coming back. He's coming out of retirement.
we've got to work on tickets to his beach party in Miami.
Oh, 100%. And I think Randy Moss is coming back from retirement.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison's coming back. Yeah. Just going to come back for a bit. So we think the Patriots and the Chiefs both win. Chiefs. And this is the last game we're going to see Philip Rivers as a Charger, quite possibly.
Yeah, and I think he would have liked to have ended on a bit more of a high than he has done this year. I don't know why the Chargers have not done what they plan to do. 5-10 at the moment.
What did Sports Illustrated say?
They said they were 10-6.
10-6.
So you would say they've had a very, very disappointing season. And I think, again, we say it about those holdouts in contracts. Gordon holding out for that long. Austin Ekeler has had an incredible season in my opinion. 950 yards as a receiver, and Ekeler has been fantastic running as well. But interceptions from Philip Rivers, it's time to go.
A lot of people saying that the advanced stats that the Chargers are totally, or their record is totally misrepresentative of the talent in this side. And that is, every year you see a team that you think, actually, you look at the point differential and more advanced metrics than that, you think they've eked out a lot of close games. They're not as good. They've been very lucky with turnovers. So this, I think, happened last year to some degree with the Bears, that the turnover differential was so stacked in their favor that it gave a slightly misleading perception of how good this team was. And the Chargers, by all accounts, are the opposite of that, that they are a team that's a lot better than their record suggests. Nevertheless, you're right. They have to go down as one of the big disappointments of the season. Remember, you said Sports Illustrated called them 10-6. I reckon 2 or 3 weeks into the season, maybe it's after their first defeat, they might have been at 500. I either wrote this or I said it on the show or some show saying, the Chargers are going to be fine.
Well, the good thing is, now, because you're an optimist, they are going to be fine. They're going to be absolutely fine.
One day they will be fine.
One day they will be fine again. They beat the Packers. They managed to do that. Rivers, I think he's got about the same amount of interceptions now as he has children in his family, which is an incredible start. But he's also, the Chargers, with that much talent, who does the buck falls? Is it Lynn? Has he not been able to lift this team when you know that they're talented, but they haven't delivered this year? But I think they'll say, right, Lynn, you got one more chance. But as quarterbacks go, they have as their backup quarterback was at the Baltimore Ravens, went to the Browns, Tyrod Taylor.
So
is he the next thing to come through? You're shaking your head, and I think maybe not, but where do you get that quarterback? They'd have to replace Philip Rivers.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose you look on the market and there are going to be players out there, but Marcus Mariota, I mean, do you just feel that you need to?
But then you'd have to change the whole system.
We have to change the whole system. I suppose whether you just need to make a very, very clear, we're moving on from Rivers now. Rivers is what, 38, 39? Maybe that's what they feel they need to do. And whether that means cleaning house as well in terms of Lynn, We shall see. They're definitely a team that has a lot to think about in the off season. Black Monday coming up as well, of course. And Freddie Kitchens is going to be a nervous customer.
Would you pack half your stuff from your desk? How much do you pack away before Monday?
If I was Freddie Kitchens, I'd be quite prepared.
Yeah,
I'd have most things locked in.
Well, because the more you pack away now, the more people you can say goodbye to, and you can have a bit of a chat and walk around and go, hey, wasn't the B. Hey, wasn't the B. You know
what?
The
trouble with Freddie Kitchens is, I think he's probably got quite a messy desk. I'd imagine Kitchens has got just piles of stuff everywhere. So
snacks as well.
Definitely snacks.
Well, he's one of the guys. He's one of the guys.
I'd hear somewhere lifting through paper.
You got that magic marker? You got that? Where did I put that? I think that whether he's given another chance, the whole building, it's too toxic's not a right word. Again, I feel like I'm going on the Browns, and it's because I believed in them. I thought maybe they could do this, but there's too many players, not enough of an idea of a system. And yet you look at some of the stats, Chubb, amazing year for him, and Kareem Hunt, that was always going to be a problem when he came back after his suspension. Who's the main running back? I think go again. You get another year if OBJ hasn't already negotiated his way out of that building.
If Ryan Tannehill was the Browns quarterback this season, would they be in the playoffs?
Oh, what a great question. I think he would be. It's not that I don't believe that Baker Mayfield can work in the right system. It definitely hasn't worked for him this year. He's too flashy. That's the word I'd use. He's too flashy, not consistent like Tannehill. I think Ryan Tannehill is the man who wants to do it himself, run it in for a touchdown.
They've got the Bengals, the Browns, to wrap things up. So the Bengals already locked down the number one overall pick, so not much to pay for them. And the Browns, 6-9. Just pay for pride, Tom.
Yeah,
playing for pride. Just playing
for Lions pride. They're playing for in the Bengals.
Speaking of the Lions, and this is the other thing that could be sorted out, of course, in the NFC. We said if the 49ers win, then they lock down the number one seed. If they don't, then things get quite interesting, because Seattle can't advance higher than the number three seed, right? Mm. So it means that if the 49ers lose, then the Packers and the Saints are in the hunt, and the Packers can win with a win against the Lions, and of course the Saints can win if the Packers lose against the Lions and they beat the Panthers. So, I mean, a number of unlikely things happening there, but let's just kind of go with it for a second. I don't, out of the two of them, and as they say, records don't lie and stats don't lie over the course of a season, but if this plays out, the Packers end up being the number one seed in the NFC, it doesn't totally sit right with me.
No, again, it's not fair. The NFL is not fair, but we love it still. The Packers defensively have a great, Matt LaFleur has taken over at the Packers, and Aaron Jones, like a different player, 16 touchdowns this year. They're not relying on Aaron Rodgers. They're right. Saying, listen, let someone else do the hard graft. Devontae Adams has had a good season, only 4 touchdowns. Defensively, they haven't looked as good. They put an end to the Vikings. They shut them up. Very, very convincingly. But this game was a 23-22. I know it was a field goal win for Crosby, for the Packers back in week 6. But this Lions team is decimated. There is no way that the Packers are going to lose this. Right. And yet, I feel like they're not the finished article, but I don't think when I look at any of the teams other than the Ravens that I feel like any team looks complete. And the Packers have had their problems defensively, but they've got over the line. Is it fair? I think they're a very decent team, and I'd love to watch Aaron Rodgers play. So yeah, fair play to them if they do manage it.
They both get the wins, I think. The Saints beat the Panthers, the Packers beat the Lions. So it was all really in the 49ers' hands. We've come full circle there. Other games as well. Just quickly, we'll rattle through those. Jets, Bills. Bills in the playoffs, the number 5 seed sorted out.
They've got nothing to play for.
Literally nothing to play for. So that, again, what will they do in terms of resting? Because they'll be playing, bouncing straight into the wild card round. So it's not as if they'll have a prolonged period off. But I'd imagine that Sean McDermott is not going to rest too many of his starters for very long.
That means Matt Barkley comes in over Allen, the quarterback. And then if they've got no White in their secondary, then Jets, go for it. Throw that football.
Colts, Jags.
Ooh, exciting game. Well, actually, this
Yes, ticket-wise. Is that the cheapest ticket of the week?
I was always good. So every time I come on and have a chat with Nat, I say to him, hey, listen, Nat, what is the cheapest ticket that you can buy right now for a game? And what's the most expensive? And I pose that question to you now.
I will say, so Colts, Jags, cheapest.
Well, maybe. Stumbled on it. Did I bluff you there?
Maybe you did. It's a double bluff. I'm just thinking, it might be, no, because there's so much. I'm just rattling through here.
It comes in at $15. Rams. You can go and see cheapest ticket this weekend.
Cardinals, Rams, maybe. Maybe Cardinals, Rams. Because Kyler might not start as well. I'm saying Cardinals, Rams.
Correct. $15 to watch the Rams in LA.
Wow.
And the most expensive?
The most expensive surely has to be 49ers Seahawks.
It is indeed. $358 for the cheapest nosebleed seats.
Wowzers. That, I think we've covered every game, right?
I think the Colts will win.
I frankly don't care who wins that.
No, I don't think anyone does, but it's one of those Jag seasons. Again, they're going to have their questions. Because as soon as it finishes, the last game of your season, if you're not going to the postseason, you suddenly start asking the questions. The team comes out, drawing board, paperwork comes out. We've got Nick Foles. We've got Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, Foles will be another one on the market. They'll back
too expensive.
Minshew, I think. There we go. So much then to be getting sorted out in week 17 and Colts Jags. and I love the fact as well, the game's coming thick and fast as well. So the kind of windows are a bit more balanced too, aren't they, on the final game? Sometimes you have like 7 or 8 or 9 games in the early window and then a couple in the later window.
Yeah.
A bit more even this time around.
Indeed. Yeah, it does look like it's going to be an exciting postseason. And Lions fans, I feel like I've given a hard time to the Browns, but Kerryon Johnson is coming back activated after missing 8 games. You may, if he gets 150 yards, have a running back that manages to get 500 yards this season. Wowzers. Hello.
Bright. There you go. Ever the optimist, Tom Deacon. Crack us up. Congratulations on your fantasy win.
Thank you very much. I didn't bring the crown in, but, yeah, it feels good. It feels good.
Like, in WWE.
Yeah.
King Deacon.
It's happening.
Which he carried into the studio next time. We'll see you in the playoffs.
I mean, I cannot wait for this. It's a beautiful time to be an NFL fan. And if you've got friends that are like, oh, I don't know if I like it, now's the time to bring them in and tell them how good it is.
Big time. Lovely stuff from Deeks. That is that. But fear not, we are back. And then some for the playoffs, rolling still 4 times a week all the way through to the Super Bowl. And we're going to be out in Miami dropping daily pods and all kinds of other stuff from the States. So there is a lot more where that came from. Enjoy the weekend. I hope things go right for your team. We'll be back Monday to pick through the bones. And of course, it is Black Monday. So we might well be getting into which coaches are going to still be in a gig and which ones are saying goodnight, Gracie. We'll see you there.